Another Monday afternoon. You know what that means. Another Prep Sports Now. Case Kiefer here alongside Ray Brewer, who's falling far behind in the picks, but we'll get to that later. Let's look back at last week. Big week last week. Of course, it was short, as we talked about, only Friday and Saturday. But Saturday, two great games. Well, one great game, Coronado and Foothill. One that didn't really live up to the hype, Gorman Finley. But we were there. A big event for Las Vegas. And what did you take out of Saturday?
Well, I think I took out, firstly, a lot of people care about high school basketball in Southern Nevada. I know that, Gorman Finley clearly, they got the star power. They got the kids that UNLV's interested in. And with the great ending to the game last year, double overtime, buzzer beater, that created quite an energetic hype leading into the game. And it was really fun to see high school basketball in the limelight, in the spotlight. I saw a guy buy six tickets for $500. Let me ask you, would you have done that?
Absolutely. If we're being truthful, absolutely not.
Okay.
Would you have?
No way. No, yeah. I would have had a hard time spending $50 for six tickets, to be honest with you.
I know. I mean, sometimes I tell you what I paid to go to a show or a concert, and you can't believe it. So yeah. I can't even imagine you buying $500 to go to a basketball game.
I'm very frugal, but I guess let's start with the Coronado Foothill game. Probably as good as advertised. Two Henderson rivals, pretty evenly matched. Coronado, they sent it to overtime on a last second tip in, and then they went on the half court shot. To pull even with Foothill in league. In fact, Foothill, Silverado, Coronado, all tied with one loss in the Southeast. You covered the game, Case. You were there from start to finish. I came in a little later on halftime. Foothill, Coronado, equally matched. Coronado get a little lucky maybe. What do you think?
I don't know if lucky is the right word. They're kind of a weird team to figure out right now, and I think maybe it's a little bit what we were saying about Gorman last week. They've had some injuries. They haven't really come into their own. Look, if you look at Coronado and the talent they have, they should be bulldozing everyone in the Southeast. They got not only Louder, but another really big kid whose name now escapes me, the other finalist in the dunk contest down low. They got some great athletes up front. Tayshaun Campbell, who of course hit the game winner from half court to win it all, and the Muhammad kid. They have so much talent. I feel like they, talent-wise, were a lot better than Foothill. But Foothill, I feel like at this point of the season, just plays a little bit better. I think they make less mistakes, less turnovers. They play more as a team. So I really thought Foothill probably played the better game from start to finish. But Coronado got kind of hot at the right time. They made some right plays. And obviously gave themselves an opportunity to have a tip-in. Look, everyone's talking about the half-court shot by Campbell, which is justified to win the game, but it wasn't even going to get there if it wasn't for Campbell fired up another three, I think, with about 5 seconds left. Michael Louder got the rebound, missed it, and then another kid, the Muhammad kid, tipped it in to go into overtime. So a lot of things went Coronado's way. I think they're a great team. If they peak, if they use this and build off of it and they're playing good at the end of the season, they're going to be really dangerous in their region.
I mean, you've seen Canyon and Vegas play. I've seen El Dorado and Desert Pines play. We haven't seen Valley. You really think that Coronado, which, by the way, killed Valley, so I don't even know why I asked this, but you really think Coronado and Foothill can match up against those guys? Because I just don't see it.
Absolutely. I think they definitely do. I think Coronado, I think, talent-wise, might be better than all those teams. If you just look at their talent, 1-7, I wouldn't rank them there right now, so I don't think they're playing like that, but I think they have a ton of talent. Foothill, you look at the kids, it's kind of the same thing as last year. You don't think they'd be that great of a team, but I just think they're really well-coached. The Crescento kid was just unbelievable in the game. He's great. I think Foothill, they just do a lot of right things over there, and I think it makes it so that they can play with anyone. I mean, we bring this up every week, and I know it's old news by now, but they almost beat Canyon Springs, who won the state championship last year. I just feel like the way Foothill plays, they're such a team. They play good defense. I think they can beat anyone, and I think Coronado, with their talent, can beat anyone.
Yeah, and the thing with Foothill, they're super young, but they're always fundamentally sound, and Kevin Soares has got the respect in the Valley as being one of the elite coaches. And what he gets, I always compare Basic and Foothill. They're kind of got similar talent levels, but Foothill always seems to do a little better, and that's, I think, because of Kevin Soares. No knock against the guys at Basic. It's just that Kevin Soares is one of these elite guys. He gets the most out of his players. And, you know, if I'm a Northeast team, I wouldn't want to play Foothill, I guess, or Coronado in the first round. But if I'm the four seed over there, it's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world, but at the same time, I think it – actually, I'm going to contradict myself. I think it kind of is the end of the world. Those teams over there, they have a bunch of great guards, right? They're not really very many good big men. I have the other Coronado kid's name, Lamar Walker, 6'11". You have Louder. He's, what, 6'10", maybe? They just got so much size. I think they're going to beat whoever – I think they're probably going to beat the four or the three.
It's just for me, and I know I use this argument way too much, and I know you probably think I'm crazy, but I just, when I think of the Northeast, I just think that the kids are, they got a little more of a swagger to them. They're a little more athletic. They're a little more game ready. They're ready to rock. And I just think that is too much to overcome unless you've got a real elite team. And you saw it in the first round last year. I hate to cut you off. But, you know, Vegas was destroying Coronado, and they just couldn't hold on to it.
I just think you haven't watched this Coronado team enough. I think they're totally different. I think in general what you're saying is right. If we picked out of a hat one Northeast team and one Southeast team, the Northeast team is going to be more athletic, have more of the swagger, like you said. But this Coronado team is so athletic, it's ridiculous. I think they're easily more athletic than any team in the Northeast. I mean, you got the Stacey Augman kid Justice Augman coming off the bench, who's super athletic, can do everything. The Tayshaun Campbell kid.
How many points did the Augman kid have real fast in the Foothill game?
Maybe 8.
I thought he only had like 2.
Really?
I thought he had a pretty good game.
I thought he had 8.
Either way.
But anyway, I was impressed with him, and he's like their 6th or 7th guy. The Tayshaun Campbell kid, the Dominique Muhammad kid, I think they need to pass a little bit more, maybe share the ball a little bit, but they drive to the bucket like it's nothing. And like I said, Foothill plays good defense. I just think athleticism-wise, Coronado can match up with any team over there.
I just think if, you know, they play DP, which could be the 4 over there, right? I just think that Julian Jacobs destroys – the backcourt of Coronado, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that,
I don't see it personally. I think they're going to beat whoever they play.
I could be wrong, but I'm going to say I'd be shocked if 3-1, I think, is arguable, but I could see the Northeast sweeping. In my humble opinion.
I say no way. 2-2.
2-2. Okay. We agree to disagree. It hasn't happened before.
Yeah, and I think I've been right mostly on these matters this year. You're batting .500 in the
picks.
Well,
listen, all these games are like coming down to the wire. I had Foothill beating Coronado.
Me too. I agree.
Coronado gets an excuse me layup at the buzzer, and then a kid heaves one up from half court, and God, because he wants to see the Finley Gorman game, doesn't want to see a second overtime, puts it in the basket for the kid. Right? I got Palo over Centennial. Centennial wins by 2 or 3 because some kid that you never heard of before gets 18 points, and I will give Centennial a lot of credit. The Allen brothers outplayed Matlock and Winder, you know, and I'm on El Dorado every week, every game. I pick Valley and they lose to El Dorado. Like, how do I compete?
Yeah, that's true. I can't believe you didn't pick El Dorado. You always pick them. But hey, we're going to get to this with the picks, but for how much you love El Dorado, you never give the Daquan Thrower kid enough credit. I'm always the one singing him. He had 33 points in that game.
He did.
We got to start giving this kid some credit.
He's the only reason they won. I mean, I'm no doubt about it.
I've been on his bandwagon since last year. I really like the kid. If El Dorado makes the playoffs, I say it's because of Daquan Thrower.
Okay, let me go to the Palo Centennial game. Got to give credit to the Centennial guard play, because I thought Winder and Matlock would dominate the Allen twins who were just juniors, and I was wrong. Malcolm Allen, they were quick. The Centennial guards were quick. There was a reason why last year they went to the regional finals, posted 25 or so wins, and there was a reason why they're having such a good run this year. Centennial, clearly the second best team in town. Have you ever heard the Party in the USA song before?
Obviously. It's like the – not by choice, but it's like one of the –
Is it Taylor Swift or Miley Cyrus?
Miley Cyrus.
Okay. Now, it's popular though, right?
I mean, yeah, like a year,
you're younger
than a year and a half ago.
Okay. Yeah, there's a party in the USA, right?
Right.
Okay. They put that song on during one of the timeouts of the Palo Verde song – Palo Centennial game.
Uh-huh.
Dude – 80% of the facility the people in there are singing the song. Boys, girls, they're doing like the hand signals with it.
Yeah, it's really, really bizarre to me. But Miley Cyrus is like gigantic to high school kids, which is kind
of
different.
Hannah Montana?
I don't know. When I was in high school, my little brother just got out of high school, and he's a huge Miley Cyrus fan.
Was he a Hannah Montana fan?
Yeah, he likes anything that's Miley Cyrus. But look, this is why I don't think we get this. Maybe, and I wasn't in high school when you were, so maybe you can tell me this. But like the big pop stars that were like teenage pop stars when you were in high school, that's not what you liked. You didn't like that stuff. Now this generation, they seem to cling to these Disney stars that don't even write their own, that these people, they're having someone write this Party in the USA song. It's bizarre to me. I think you're saying the same thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, it was, you know, like Will Smith, Summertime. You remember that song?
Yeah, of course.
Summer, the basketball courts in the summer got girls there.
But I mean, it wasn't like, this. To me, these kids gravitating towards Miley Cyrus would be like the Backstreet Boys. Or something when you were in high school. You weren't listening to the Backstreet Boys,
no,
right?
No, that was way before. I graduated in 94, buddy. Backstreet.
Ooh, I was thinking you were like late 90s.
No,
okay. 94. New Kids on the Block? You weren't listening to New Kids on the Block, were you?
I love Jordan. No, I'm joking. What
Jordan
about,
Knight.
Do you remember the song, Joy, Pump It Up in Rain, Keep It Coming Now, Sunshine. Come on in rain.
I think that might have been before my time. I'm not sure
what that
is.
That's a good song. I like that song.
All right.
I mean, I was in, you know, do you remember the Running Man dance? The Roger Rabbit?
Yeah.
Could you do the Roger Rabbit?
No, that was before my time, but I remember the phenomenon.
And kids wore Zeke Havarichis that looked like you had went number two.
Wow.
Did you ever have a pair of
Think you're, no one's going to know what you're talking about.
Okay.
You're really aging yourself here.
All right, I'm aging myself. Anyways, Paolo Centennial. Centennial's in the driver's seat. You don't want to take second in the Northwest because then you got to play Gorman in the semis of the playoffs. And clearly they'll meet again at Centennial. It was a back and forth game. Last year they split, winning on each other's home courts. Not to go back to that argument. And I to be honest with you, I probably expected a little more of Winder and Matlock. I expected those guys to kind of dominate. But Centennial, they were clearly the aggressor from start to finish.
And thankful to them, we won our first of two bets last week.
What did I have?
I had Centennial plus +3.
Oh!
But
could have won either way.
You won our other one. You had Legacy minus -7. I had Sierra Vista. Legacy wins by 13.
Woo! One points!
So you're all good there. Obviously, I wouldn't have been surprised by anything in this Centennial Palo game as long as it was a close game. I guess I would have been surprised by a blowout. But, I mean, Centennial got it done. Bottom line, we kind of talked about last week who had the advantage in the guard play. And I kind of said I thought Palo might. You said Centennial might. And it sounded like Centennial certainly got the best of them Friday night.
They definitely did. And the one thing is both Allens are very slender. And they're going to need to put some weight on, but they're quick, they're confident, they hit shots. And, you know, Winder and Matlock I thought would be better, and they just looked hesitant the whole night. So give credit to Centennial. They dictated the pace of the game, and they won.
Right.
In the USA.
I think that's a good thing to move on to our next thing. We got to touch on it quickly, even though we've talked about this game ad nauseum. Don't really have anything else to say, but Gorman Finley. Any impressions of what happened? I think Finley, what was the final score? 73-61. Wins by 12. Just so impressed with Finley. I don't know. I don't put too much stock into these high school rankings. It's way too hard to rank all the teams. But I know from what I've seen, Finley's the best team in the country.
Yeah, they're good. And, you know, Winston Shepherd, Nigel Goss, they play great defense. I didn't realize Dominic Artis was so quick at the point guard spot. I mean, that kid's like a lightning bolt getting up and down the court. And it really exposed, you know, Gorman's bad guard play. You know, they've never really had a true good one all the last 2 years, and it clearly showed against Finley. They also did a good job guarding Shabazz Muhammad.
Yeah, just Anthony Bennett didn't play. He's hurt. A couple other guys got in foul trouble. And really, when we looked at this game last week, you mentioned that you don't think they have, you know, the guards to match up, especially at point guard. And look at who had the two best games. Nigel Williams-Goss, of course, had 20, and Dominic Artis had 21. I was very impressed with Artis, not taking anything away from him. But, you know, I think he did benefit from And this doesn't take anything away from the Gorman kids. The Gorman kids that start at guard are way above average. But just compared to who Finley plays and compared to a guy like Dominic Artis, I think that
he's going to Oregon.
I think it was a little bit easier of a matchup for him than he's used to playing these national schools. And I think he took advantage of that, which he needed to for Finley to get a big win.
And give Finley credit. They took Gorman out of its game. You know, Gorman wasn't able to establish itself offensively. Muhammad got frustrated, actually didn't even score in the third quarter. And, you know, like you said, we've talked about it till we're blue in the face, but how cool is it to see, like, Senator Reed there and, you know, all the notables and dignitaries, you know, Shane Victorino, Randall Cunningham, all for a high school game, I thought was pretty neat.
Yeah, that was a great environment, really cool. Here's my question. There's already been talks of next year maybe moving it to a bigger venue, but I think it's going to lose a little bit of its luster next year, isn't it? I mean, so many of the Gorman kids are graduating. You know, Finley's going to have a top program. Gorman's going to be competitive, but are they going to be to the level where, you know, people are talking about them beating Finley?
You know, I would highly doubt it, but I would like to see that game next year at Gorman's gym. You know, it would seat maybe 1,500, but like you said, Gorman's losing its big four. And they're returning basically Rashad Muhammad, Zimmerman, and Robothan next year, which, you know, Zimmerman, by the way, out for the year, injured.
Really? Yeah. In the Finley game?
Apparently.
I know he got in for a while. He got to the free throw line. Mm-hmm. That might have been his only point, but he got hurt after that?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what he hurt, but last night on Twitter, his family posted that he thanks for the support. He'll be out for the rest of the high school season, but he'll be ready for AAU with Dream Vision. So insult to injury, little depth underneath hurt, and kind of, you know, Steven Zimmerman had to play varsity this year because he's 6'10", one of the best players for the freshman class, but probably would have liked to get a little more run. Didn't quite happen for him.
Yep, I think that pretty much sums it up. Gorman loses by 12 to Finley. Now they're going to get back on their horse, try to win.
They won't lose again.
Yeah, try to win the state championship this year, which I certainly think they will do. But we would have said the same thing last year, that they aren't going to lose again. So anything can happen, but I give Gorman about a 97% chance to win the state championship.
I agree with you. We agree for the first time.
All right, we agree. Let's get to something we will definitely disagree on. The picks for this week. We actually are on the same side for the first game, though. Tomorrow night, Tuesday, Canyon Springs goes to Las Vegas, a rematch of the double overtime game that Canyon Springs won first time around.
Yeah, they did. And Canyon Springs has got to be real careful, Case. They're definitely slipping a little bit, and they need to get back on track and back on track quick, because we know there's five teams in the Northeast: Vegas, Valley, DP, L-Dog, and Canyon. Only four could get in. It would be a shame if the defending state champs are left out. I think Vegas wins. They play great on their home court. Give me the Kitty Cats.
Yeah, I got to go with Vegas, too. They play good at home, like you said. I like Canyon Springs, and I think they can give them a close game, but I think Vegas, I think they've got a bad taste in their mouth. They lost that last game to Canyon. They haven't beaten Canyon Springs in basketball, since I know this because I just looked it up, right at the beginning of January in 2009. So six straight games. They've lost to Canyon Springs. Some of these seniors, you know, the Hassan Hendersons.
Who lost to them in football.
Right, the Phil Dunnigans. Don't you think they have a little extra, you know,
I think. Motivation in their step? I think this is a pretty safe pick.
Yep, I like Las Vegas in this game. Let's get to the next night, Wednesday. Legacy is hosting Centennial. Legacy has really seems like they've kind of come into their own. They're playing really well. I think they might be 3-1 or 4-1 in their last four. I'm really impressed with what they've done. I think they're going to be pumped for this Centennial game. I don't know if Centennial is going to have the same motivation. Tell me, why shouldn't I pick Legacy to get the upset here?
Well, and see, that's the thing. I really wanted to make this my upset of the week. Last year, Centennial lost to Legacy after beating Palo. And Legacy is, you know, clearly a quality team. They've played in some tournaments this year. And I think that they could beat them. But when it's all said and done, you look at Centennial's record. You look at what they have with Martin on the inside, with the twins in the backcourt, who are potentially, if they put on some weight, D1 guys. I just think that if you play this game 10 times, Centennial is going to win 8 out of 10. give me the Dogs.
Centennial beat Legacy 81-61 in December, but I really think that Legacy's gotten a lot better. They've gone 8-3 since then. They only lost to Palo by 4, so that was a close game. Or actually, they lost to him by 6, excuse me. But close game. I'm making every case for me to pick Legacy, but I just can't do it. I think Centennial is going to win a really close game. I wouldn't even be surprised maybe Legacy leads at halftime or late in the game, but then Centennial is going to turn it on and take the win.
I think that if they won by 20 in December, it should be a no-brainer.
All right, well, here's one. I kind of like where you're going, but in the picks to ruin it for you, because I know you haven't seen them yet, I kind of poked fun at you for this upset. So tell them, what's your upset of the week? I'll tell you this, it's not near as bad as picking Liberty to beat Green Valley last week.
That was a stumble. Foothill at Basic, I go with Basic. Rivalry game, old school Henderson, a lot of people are going to be there. Basic not as bad as their record indicates. Devontae Boyd, probably the most athletic player on the court. And Foothill, double overtime loss, might have a little bit of a hangover, schedule a little out of whack from having to play on Saturday. All the stars align for the Wolfpack to roar, baby. Basic 59. Foothill in one of its worst games of the year, 54.
Yeah, I disagree. I just don't see it. Like I said, I was impressed with Foothill on Saturday. Basic, I mean, come on. They lost to Green Valley by 30. They lost to Sierra Vista by 14. This is both in the last 2 weeks. Foothill's just, I think Foothill's too much for them.
Give me a good number on that game.
Ooh, you want this one? I'll give you 6.
Please. 6?
Yeah, 6.
That's it?
What do you want?
At least 12.
No way. We're going to another game.
Okay.
The Basic is at home, and you're making the case for them to win, and you want 12?
6? I mean, what, do you want me to give you $5? I'm not paying you to do the show.
8.
It's got to be double digits.
No way. It's double digits.
They lost by 30 to Green Valley and to Sierra Vista. I didn't even know Sierra Vista had a team this year. What do you mean?
They only lost by, I think I said 14. They only lost by 16 to Sierra Vista.
Okay.
But anyway, we'll go on to another game since we can't agree there. Liberty and Silverado. I think this is the first time all year, but I'm picking Silverado. Despite me always picking against them, I like their team. I like Reuben Jackson, David Ware, Justin Johnson, I think are kind of their big three. I think they're going to get a win here.
And when was the last time you picked against Liberty in anything?
Last week, I said you were crazy for picking them against Green Valley.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
But yeah, you're right. I'll never pick against them in gymnastics or anything.
Okay, we both like Silverado big.
Right.
Okay, we agree.
We agree.
Next game. L Dog and DP. A rematch of the first game. I was there. DP opened like gangbusters. Led big, and despite Julian Jackson fouling out, they hung on for the victory.
Julian Jacobs, right?
Jacobs, same thing. Okay. Three guys, Desert Pines, three best guys, played at L-Dog last year. Desert Pines' coach used to be L-Dog's coach. Clearly, everybody knows each other. No big surprise. I just think my man, Daquan Thrower, fired up from that Valley performance in a zone. I see L-Dog winning.
Interesting enough. I think I'm going to have to repeat what I said, or a version of what I said in the picks. Close game, but I think when it comes down to it, I just got to take the better team. And I think Desert Pines wins 65 times if they play 100. So I'm going to go Desert Pines.
Those are good odds. Okay, what kind of number will you give me?
Ooh, with Desert Pines at home? 4.
I'll take it.
All right, 4. You're up $5 on the year still. So that's okay. One. I got Desert Pines
minus
4. So I got L-Dog
plus 4?
L-Dog plus 4.
Play of the day on my parlay. Okay, L-Dog plus 4. I'm writing it down now, baby. Okay.
I hope no one has listened this far to hear you sing whatever you just sang.
What do you mean? I'm excited. You just gave me $5.
All right.
Okay, next game. Valley at Shap. I don't think we have to talk about it. Shap's not as bad in hoop as they are in football, but Valley, one loss in the league. They're likely going to win the league and maybe even go further.
Yeah, that being said, I feel like Shap kind of has regressed in basketball. They were much better last year, at least judging by the scores and what I remember. I don't give them much of a chance here.
Okay, we agree. Cimarron at Chi-Town. I know who you're taking.
No, you don't know who I'm taking. I agree with you. I'm going Cheyenne. But I think that you are way overvaluing this game. In our picks, you called it an elimination game for whoever loses. Listen, whoever loses is going to be 4-6, which is going to be 3-6, which is unfortunate. Arborview is ahead at 4-4, but Arborview's only game in the Northwest this week is against Palo. They're going to lose and be 4-5. So whoever loses is only a game out of the playoffs. I think it's way premature to call it an elimination game.
Yeah, tiebreaker, baby.
That's true. Well, here's the deal. If Cimarron loses, it's pretty much an eliminator for them. If Cheyenne loses, far from the end of the world. But Cimarron's already lost to Cheyenne by about 20 in December. I think Cheyenne's just a lot more talented, even though they were on a four-game losing streak going into last week.
And did I tell you when I went to the Cheyenne game that is the weakest team I've ever seen in terms of strength?
I don't think you told me that. You were just raving about how quick they were. And
I mean, every player on that team could barely fit into their tank top. It's like my legs are bigger than some of their arms.
Interesting.
Yes. I'm a Husky guy for whatever it's worth.
But yeah, I like Cheyenne, and I actually think they're going to win by double digits.
All righty. I like Cheyenne as well. Silverado at Green Valley.
I don't know. I think you just don't want to give Green Valley any credit. Look, Green Valley, they've won, I think, 4 in a row maybe. They look great. I think their coach, Lorenzo Jarvis, has some system over there where they just get better as the season goes on. This team's reminding me of last year's team. They've gotten progressively better. Darrell McDonald's having a really good year. So are some of their other pieces. I think the Khan kid, not sure how you pronounce it, having a good year. I don't think Silverado is going to beat Green Valley at Green Valley, but apparently you're going to make the case that they will.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, Silverado's only got one loss in the league. They've positioned themselves to where they could possibly get a home playoff game. And if they're going to win, they got to win now because we know Coronado is getting healthy and Foothill, as we discussed, is technically sound.
You almost got out of me bringing up the one thing I really wanted to bust you on today. I understand if you're picking Silverado, that's fine. But you picked Silverado to win 81-76. If it's that kind of game, I guarantee you Green Valley wins. Silverado,
fouls, baby. It's foul shots.
Silverado, I think I looked in the Southeast this year, no one scored more than 70 on them. They're winning because of defense. They kind of slow down the game. They don't get into these, like, track meets, a lot of possessions. So if a team scores over 81, I'm telling you right now, Silverado loses.
Overtime. Fouls.
All right. I don't like your prognosis of this game. We'll talk about it next week. Thanks for listening. Prep Sports Now.